back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Tom, not the best week for Lansing Eastern.
Really? First of all, you're talking about that academic report about bottom 5% in the state of Michigan.
Did that bother you, being a Quaker?
Did it devalue my diploma? Is that what you're asking me? Or if I went to a Waverly Middle School?
If you had gone from Waverly Middle School
and transferred Eastern, I'd really be feeling down right now. What's going on with Lansing schools?
Well, I think in a lot of ways they're making some strides. They're trying to do things the right way. They have some innovative plans, but they have a lot of things working against them, too.
There's a lot of, and even in sport, and I ran into Kerry Keaton the other night at the football scrimmage. He's over there with the Everett coaches, and he's telling me Lansing-wide, a lot of the sub-varsity teams, it's difficult for the Lansing teams to field enough
kids
at the freshman and JV level.
Why is that?
Is it the numbers? I mean, I know Sexton has 800 kids, which is low, but I know that Eastern and Everett have, 1,300 and 1,400 or somewhere in that vicinity.
Well, there's a great Pop Warner base. I mean, as you
in the Lansing
drive home.
Way, yeah,
absolutely. Tremendous.
Right.
You drive home, I see those games every night.
Yeah, they got good team. I don't understand what's happening in that regard to Lansing, but there's another negative
right.
story.
Well, we're talking about Jay Vincent and what happened
there. Shocked. Now,
I know Jay a little bit.
Okay. How surprised were you about
this? Well, I had heard rumors of this, some scuttlebutt, that there was something was going to happen, going to come down, but really couldn't pin it down, and you had to wait until whatever was going to happen was going to happen.
Now, this is a federal indictment for mail fraud?
Right.
Okay.
Talking about an alleged scam.
Right.
Involving inspections, the inspection business he had, and people paying for things and not getting what they paid for.
Now you're innocent, obviously, Absolutely. Until proven guilty. And here you have a Quaker in trouble, and you have a former Big Red now, Charlie Ford, helping him out as his attorney.
Sure.
I don't like to hear those things, even to the rival school. I mean, Michigan State. I mean, this guy's jersey, is hung in the rafters, number 31 up there, and that's not a good thing. This is
second best player ever. From Lansing, would you say?
To Irvin?
Yeah.
probably. I mean, I don't know. There's been some. Who else would be in that? There's been a lot of really good second-tier players.
Are you counting Waverly? Would you count Marcus Taylor?
But you know what? When I think of
led
Marcus
his team to
Taylor,
a state championship. Scored nearly 3,000 points.
Sam Vincent was a
really
good
player.
Started 4 years. Let's go back to another Vincent. Sam Vincent was
a very good player.
Robert Henderson was another
very
Eastern
good player.
Quaker.
But I think most people will tell you the greatest player from Lansing Eastern was Jay Vincent.
Yeah, without question. And who knows what might happen in the future at Eastern. Maybe Cha-Cha Tucker might. You never know. You never know where that's going to go. But that's very disheartening to have that stuff happen. It's very disheartening to hear not just locally here, but other athletes gone bad. And we talked about that during the one of the earlier segments today in the Jack and Tom Show about this entitlement thing. You have a sense of entitlement, and I don't know, but this one really, really took me off guard.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people who had wondered what Jay was up to. We don't know. We haven't gotten that definitive answer yet from Jay. So we'll have to let this play out a little bit. And I tried to get him the other day. I've got a bad phone number for him again. Happens all the time. Some guys.
Switch numbers?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If they had a resume, it'd be like Nick Saban's. Just a whole bunch of different places.
But, how close was I remember the Eastern Everett rivalry at that time and Irvin and Jay, this whole thing, keep Irvin and Jay in Lansing. You remember that nauseating campaign?
It was great. And Jay committed first.
Jay committed first, and you thought that those two guys were going to be really tight, as good friends.
They were friends, but they weren't best friends.
Like Irvin and Greg Kelser ended up being closer, did they not?
They were close, but
That wasn't that tight of a best friend deal.
It was on the court. It was tremendous.
Yeah.
Cohesion.
Yeah. But I, you know, I kept thinking that Irvin and Jay were these.
You know, that's what the media does.
Maybe
we
that's
want
where,
these guys to fit buds. Into a story, right? And part of the story is they're a team. So if they're a team, you know, they got to go on canoe trips together. They got to do everything together.
But who was Irvin's buddy? Who was Irvin's close buddy?
Well, he had friends. I mean, Reggie Chastain was really
who was killed in the car accident.
That was his guy.
Really?
Oh yeah, Dale Beard.
Yeah, who went and played at Ferris State?
Yeah. You know, that was his guy, Kenny Turner. You know, the Kenny Turner story. I got a great Michigan story for you about Kenny Turner.
Okay.
Can I tell you about this, about stopping?
Well, tell our listeners about Kenny Turner.
All right. Kenny
Turner to Irvin? Because I always hear Kenny Turner.
Kenny Turner is a very, very good friend, and he may be listening. But he was on his way to the Class A championship game when they beat Birmingham Brother Rice.
Right.
And he was so convinced at that point that he was going to go to the University of Michigan that they were in a traffic jam on Main Street. And he said, you know, we're not going anywhere for 10 minutes. And he got out of the car and he ran into a sporting goods shop.
By Stein and Gates.
Went in and picked out a Michigan outfit. Bought it right there.
Because he thought Irvin was going to Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, I did too.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he wanted to go. This coercion is people forced him to go to Michigan State. Okay,
well,
keep going.
He was working for the Board of Water and Light.
Okay.
And, of course, the announcement was broadcast live. Very, very few people had it. Bob Gross from the Lansing State Journal had it.
April 25th.
He had it, and he had it ahead of time. Anybody else?
April 25th, 1970.
That's right. And he had to have it first.
Day.
George Fox will tell you the story because the State Journal was an afternoon paper.
Right.
So Bob had to have the story so they could have it ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Press conference, boom, and then there's the paper.
Gotcha. Right?
So Kenny's listening to this thing on the radio, and he's down in some woman's basement reading a meter. And he hears Irvin say Michigan State, and he screams, "What?" And the woman thought, like, something had happened to her wiring, like her house is going to go on fire.
Right.
Something terrible is going to happen.
Right.
And he pitched his stuff in a garbage, and that was it. Pitched all of his Michigan stuff. That's it.
Wow. So he thought.
I know that was an important day in your life, Tom. That's why I brought that story up. I know that one of your
one
of your favorite days.
Okay, we started the show reliving the 1990 Michigan State game. Now we're ending the 920 segment talking about the biggest loss in recruiting for Michigan was there, because tell me things had how life would have changed. And then, first of all, Michigan with Alan Hardy, Tommy Staton.
Would have won a national championship.
You're talking cutting down the nets.
Michigan would have won a national championship.
Without question, they would have won a national championship.
Yeah. Well, Michigan State did.
Johnny Orr was a good enough
coach.
They took
a team that was 12-15.
Yeah.
10-17.
Okay.
Judd always says 12-15 because he claims those forfeit wins right away. But, look what Irvin did for Michigan State. They went 25-5 and 26-6, and they got 12 wins on both sides.
And look what Irvin did for Michigan State when he left. The next year they went 10-17.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So,
it went in the tank.
I mean, but Michigan had a good team. Irvin would have made them an unbelievable team.
Oh, that
Irvin would have made anybody a champion.
But that did position Jay, who we started this conversation about,
who was
as
the
a
Big
scorer.
Ten's leading scorer the next 2 years.
Yeah, because he was scoring 31 points a game all of a sudden, because he was
not scoring 31 points a game.
Well, 20-some points.
Yeah,
he had some 30-point games.
Right, but he wasn't averaging.
He had one down in Ann Arbor, I remember.
No one at Michigan State has ever averaged 30 points in a season.
Mike Robinson?
No.
Now, that number 31 up there?
Yes.
In the rafters?
Yes.
Maybe that should have said Robinson, not Vincent.
Well, I think it should have said both. I think Mike Robinson is the one player whose jersey, and you could make a case for Sam Vincent. Some people would make a case for Terry Furlow. I'm not one of them. But you really need to have Mike Robinson's jersey up there. He was the Big Ten scoring champion as a sophomore. He was a Big Ten scoring champion as a junior. He would have been
could
as a senior.
Fire that ball.
He played against Michigan on one foot and only did it because he thought he would be a decoy, and he was a decoy, and Michigan covered him with two guys. And that cost him a Big Ten scoring championship. He would have led three straight years. Campy Russell won in 1974.
In that last game of the season in
1974. He was a top player in the country under 6 foot.
That one-hand push shot kind of had an extension one-handed.
He averaged almost 40 points a game as a freshman on the freshman team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. He had a counterpart.
Tyrone Lewis.
Ty Lewis was the other guard.
Yeah. Tom Crawford remembers the backcourt for the Michigan State freshman team, not the Michigan State
basketball team. Gus Kanakis has got to love this kind of stuff.
Unbelievable. But Mike Robinson's number and name really does belong in the rafters.
Without question. What do we got coming up next, Jack?
We're going to be talking with Fred Heumann, WLNS sports director. We'll talk a little bit about the high school season starting. I know he's going to want to weigh in on Roger Clemens. He has very, very strong views on steroids and the like. So we'll catch up with Fred in just a moment. I know he's probably preparing for fantasy football drafts, too. We'll be right back with more The Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.